Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 587. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Let's just start this all off with a nice big slap in the face.
Earl is here, too.
Well, that's going to hang over the whole rest of the show.
Hold on. Give me a second. I'm getting some news. I think we might have to date this podcast in 4 days. I got some news that news may be coming soon, so I think we should record later on just to confirm if that news happens. So we got that going for us.
So we're gonna reconvene on Sunday.
Because news may happen this week. I'm hearing that news may happen, and I feel like it's a great opportunity for us to do this podcast recording because news may happen, and we want to cover the news if it happens.
News may happen. That is, I guess, a thing.
And it's being heavily rumored, that if any of this news that is news happens, we want to cover it. So yeah, I'm here. I got the breaking news that news might happen.
And Jeff is here too.
Buffalo Trace, won't you come out tonight?
Yeah, it's been a weird week.
That's evergreen statement.
That is true.
Yeah,
for like the past, 6 years now at this point? I'm not even going to say the last 2 years, but yeah, it's been, yeah. Yeah.
Although this week was weird for reasons that had nothing to do with like disease or war, which was refreshing.
Some of it was still weird because we did have the former guy asking the guy who just invaded the country to get dirt on our president. So we got that going for us. So. It's not completely normal.
That happened. Was this the same week where the one representative said that?
Yes, the orgies.
Yeah, the orgies.
Doing key bumps out there. I can tell you guys what a key bump is, in case you want to know.
Do we want to know? I'm not sure I want to know.
Can you spot it from halfway across the parking lot, apparently? I think that's what happened. I don't.
Very good. So you got the right eye for it. That's what you're looking for.
I'm assuming it's cocaine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like just take like if you took your key and dipped it in the bag and then sniffed off the key.
Oh.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people making fun of the fact that guy knew. Like, how do you know the word key bump? Like the phrase key bump. If you don't do this stuff.
Yes. It happens.
Yeah, so there was that politics. And the Oscars happened. That was a thing that now, still hasn't died down. Like,
I mean, was it today that the news broke that they actually asked Will Smith to leave and he refused?
It didn't happen.
Never. I don't know if it ever got to him.
It got to his publicist.
I don't even know if it got that far. I think it was like a dispute among the people that were running the show.
Like and, we should ask him to leave, and then they forgot.
Like two of the guys were like, "We need him to leave right now." And the guy who had the final say was like, "No." And I don't know.
So yeah, that's a mess. I mean, I don't know. Really, it was a slap. Who gives a shit? Can we end it? Can we stop talking about it?
Like, apparently, a lot of people do. So
I was kind of done with it when Chris Rock was like, "I'm not pressing charges." Then was like, "Okay, well,
yeah,
like, it's over."
If the guy who was slapped doesn't care, let's move
my favorite part is like people are like, "I was so traumatized." You didn't get smacked, and it's the Oscars. Have you seen some of the movies they put out? Right. The movies on rape and slavery. And a slap is what's like, that's traumatic.
And then you hear other stories about like Clint Eastwood literally tried to like beat someone up.
John Wayne. John Wayne is the one that like tried to attack an indigenous actor who was on stage. They had to restrain him. We've given Roman Polanski an Oscar and a standing ovation.
Literally, yes. In absentia, because if he had been there, they'd arrested him. Like that's awesome. Let's make fun of the guy who like stood up for his wife in a moment of rage and weakness. And
Like, right. I mean, he shouldn't have done it, but no. Also, like, I don't know. I get it.
Right. That's the part. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, right? And we, who knows what's gone on between these two men, and how can we really judge that situation? Like, you should not slap people in the face, but it's just like we don't have all the information.
I think you should slap people in the face. I think of all the ways you, because a slap in the face to me is not. It's. I mean, again, like I said if the only thing, if it was a punch in the face, if they engage in a play apart brawl, but a slap in the face is like, wake up, shut up. It's like, yeah. You're not trying to hurt the person. You're just trying to tell them, you're like, I guess you don't keep his wife's name out of your mouth. Very right. Simply, yes, in there.
And I get it from comedians' standpoints of like, look, like this shouldn't happen. We don't want, like this was a special circumstance, but we don't want crazy people taking that example and rushing us on stage.
Right.
Like, I get it. It's shitty all around. I don't know. It's personal between Will Smith, Chris Rock. Let them fucking hash it out. Who gives a shit now? It's over.
You gotta take sides.
I just look for the Comedy Central roast in about a year from now, hosted by Chris Rock of Will Smith.
My side, Jeff, is I like Chris Rock and Will Smith, and I don't give a shit. Like, let them hash it out.
What I'm not interested to is SNL this weekend.
Oh God, yeah.
Because you know, if we haven't enter the pay phase of the smack yet, or the sap, I should say. So yeah, we get to do that next, that phase. So yay.
I mean, I will have the bold take of saying how I feel about it. I think what Will Smith did was fucking nuts. Like, really, I don't sure. care what he said about his wife. Like, you know, whatever. I'm also like of the mind, like, whatever, who cares? But I do feel bad for like literally everyone that won that night, including Will Smith, because it's like none of the coverage is like, that's what the coverage usually is. Like, people the next day, oh, I've never heard of that movie, we should watch that. Like, I like to see those movies get their props and whatever. And it's just,
I will say this much, as somebody who suffered through 3 hours and 42 minutes of this show.
I somehow missed it. I can't believe I missed it. Me of all people, I missed the shit. Like, I was oblivious until the next morning.
That's what I was going to get at. This was not a great show. There's a reason people are talking about the sap. But this was not a great show. It's a show that tried to appease a bunch of people, so it ends up appeasing nobody because it had no sense of identity. It had no flow. I think you saw some of it. Like, the fact that 6 or 7 awards were given out before the show, and they kind of cut it into broadcast. It was really weird. Because like you said, the people would just appear on stage, and then you'd have people presenting awards who have nothing to do with it. I mean, I think at one point, Tony Hawk, Sean White, and...
Saw that.
They were
there. It's like, what the fuck is this?
What were they there for? Juno?
To introduce a highlight reel of the James Bond series.
Yeah.
I don't,
because when I associate James Bond,
they like were trying to stretch some sort of meaning out of that.
But here's the worst thing about that in particular is then they then had Rami Malek, who is in No Time to Die, present No Time to Die by Billie Eilish. You could have just tied those two segments together instead of having two segments.
Yeah, it would have made sense.
Yes, a guy who's in the movie who is at the award show to celebrate the award. Or if you're going to do a Bond 60th and one of your nominees is a song from the Bond movie from last year, seems like a great idea to set that montage to that song. And then they did We Don't Talk About Bruno. And it's like, you know, they made a big deal about this being the first live performance of We Don't Talk About Bruno. They do the first verse, and then the rest of it is they remix it and talk about the Oscars with a bunch of random people. I'm like, why would you build this up and then not do the song that everybody knows and wants to hear?
It also wasn't nominated.
Which also wasn't nominated.
You know what I can't figure out is, like, were the Oscars way more relevant when we were kids, or like, did I just assume that they were relevant because I watched them and I thought that everyone else did too? And
I think they were. It's just like, you know, you think back to when we were kids, like people had cable, but it was it was like the Super Bowl, and like everybody likes movies, right? Everybody likes the, like, who's gonna win? And that was also like, what should I go rent this weekend? Like, like, what should I go see? You know, because most of that stuff was already out of theaters at that point. Like, what should I watch? Who these are the people that make movies.
What are these movies I've never heard of?
Right.
I should watch.
And I think as we've, you know, expanded into the digital realm and have 700 streaming services apiece, and like movies are everywhere. I don't know that it holds the same. I don't think any of the award shows do, right? Like the Grammys, the American Music Awards, the Emmys. Yeah. People still watch them, just not to the same degree.
I just remember the Oscars, like in my mind anyways, they were like a huge deal. Like, and now even for me, they're like, this is the first year I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, these guys don't have great taste in movies. Like, what the fuck?
I honestly think it's one of those things where what happened is, I think the taste of the Oscars and the taste of the mainstream has really diverged in the past 20 years. Because, like, I mean, part of it is, like, you know, before the multiplexes, you could have movies that were, you know, like big blockbusters that were also really well-made movies. And now those are two separate realms, because you get people like, oh, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home should have been nominated. And I'm looking at that list, and I'm like, what would you take out? Like, I'm sure some people are going to say, like, Don't Look Up or something like that. But I'm also like, I feel like...
Yeah, there's movies I'd take out. I wouldn't put Spider-Man in, but there's movies I'd take out.
And I also think that we don't necessarily, we shouldn't. You know, like, I think the 10 thing was a way to appease that, but it's like, you nominate 10 movies, and if that 10 movies, I think...
Dune, where was Malignant?
Dune was the only one people had seen. I think, you know, and it's weird because it's a double-edged sword, because people want to watch the Oscars because they want to see the movies they want to see nominated, but those aren't going to be the ones that get nominated, so it's a double-edged sword.
Or if they are nominated, it's in, like, technical categories that nobody gives a shit about.
Yeah, and then you get stuff like this. Like, for instance, I think Dune ended up being the movie that had the most Oscar wins this year. I could be wrong. It had 6, and most of those were technical awards. So, like, the movie that people had actually seen, who could root for, you gave out all the awards before the show started. So it's like, okay. And then you had that really oddball moment when they had the, the stand up and cheer moment, which was won by Zack Snyder's Justice League. And then you had the fan favorite movie, which was Army of the Dead. And it's like, yeah, these aren't movies that, yeah, these are, it's like you created these awards to give it to, like, these big popcorn movies, and you did, but it's not the ones you wanted it to go for. It's the stuff that, like, I mean, I think we've all seen Army of the Dead. Not that memorable of a movie.
No, it's fine.
Justice for Malignant, man. That was the movie. No Oscars for Gabriel.
No, there should have been some just for that, you know, that police station fight scene.
You know,
yeah,
that's all insane.
Nobody took the chair like that. So
there's so much tinkering, and people have so many ideas about, like, what they should do to, like, get more viewers and stuff. And, like, I'm not saying this would fix anything or whatever, but I just, like, how come no one ever brings up the idea, like, best horror movie, best comedy, like, those two genres, like, never win best picture, like, very, very rarely. Like,
I feel like if you start doing that, like, and I get your point, and I don't disagree with you. I do feel like a lot of those movies are underrepresented. But then it's like, you break it out into genres. I do think that you see, the problem is like, one, they have a ton of awards to begin with. But I do think you need to start giving out stuff to, you know, like, everybody always talks about, like, why isn't there, like, one for, like, a stunt team? And I feel like that's something you should honor and respect. Because I feel like if you start doing genres, you might as well be the you're the MTV Movie Awards.
I think that they should. It makes them come off as stuffy, that they won't recognize genre movies. Like, Like really, like very, movies. Very, very, well, yeah, sure. Best superhero movie.
Yeah, I think it's a new category, Jeff. What do you think? I know you love superhero movies.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Disney packs at least 4 a year, so.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the problem, though. It's like, if you start going to, like, best horror, you're going to end, like, why don't you, like, why don't? Because, again, like, we say, like, horror, I mean, is a great genre, but, like, I mean, looking at the box office, it's still a very niche genre. Like, the best horror does, I mean, the best horror, I guess, it depends. I think, the highest grossing horror franchise, and that's did like $1.1 billion between the two movies. But then you get some, even Scream does what, $200 million, and like $200 million on the low end is like.
That's more than Power of the Dog.
that's just then Spider Man. That's just then No Time to Die. That's just then Dune. That's just then Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but horror movies are art.
Godzilla versus Kong. So. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's nifty, but it can go a long way.
I don't know. We're never fixing the Oscars, and it's never...
Nope, that's why I stopped watching them years ago. I'll check the winners the next day. Except you miss things like the slap.
Yes. And it's funny. Yeah, it wasn't a huge number, but... It was not a not insignificant number. I think something like 500,000 people tuned in after the SAP happened. So there's that.
A little bump, yeah.
I mean, I was glued to Twitter for the rest of the evening after that happened. Because, you know, there was a lot to watch.
I was so... I didn't look at Twitter. I was just watching Deadwood in bed. Woke up in the morning, checked my Twitter. Whoops, I just accidentally hit something on Twitter. And I was like, what the fuck? How did I miss this?
Shockingly, Jeff's nickname is in fact Deadwood.
That's true. It got posted into our private chat like moments after it happened, I guess.
I was, you know, I just had the phone sitting down next to me, never lifted it up, which is very uncharacteristic of me. I don't know how I did this to myself, and I missed it.
But probably nothing else exciting happened after that, so...
Well, the only thing I was paying attention to was, like, is he still around? Because they really don't show him again until the nominees for Best Actor in a Leading Role. And that's the first time you see that he's still in the audience. And again, this is like half an hour after that happened, so.
Congratulations to Will Smith as Best Actor.
It also kind of sucks that, it, like Jeff said, this is his first win, and it's going to be clouded by this now.
I mean, that's his fault. Like, you can't really feel bad for him. Like,
no,
it's sad that you did this horrible thing and are now suffering consequences. Oh,
I feel bad for all the other winners, even though, like, none of the stuff nominated I really gave a shit about. But it's just like, dude, they worked. This is the thing that they worked towards. And
we had an all employee meeting at work 2 days later, and they asked trivia questions. I was like, what won best picture? And the entire room is silent. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody knew because nobody had paid a lick of attention to that at all.
Yeah.
It was Coda, though, right?
It was Coda. Yeah.
It stands for what, Jeff?
Child of Deaf Adults. Or Children of Deaf Adults. One of the two. I don't know.
But you know who I feel really bad for? Questlove.
He was like right after.
That was the award they were
doing. That was the award.
Yeah, that was what he was up there for.
Yeah,
it was a very very Philly moment right there.
I did go look up his speech, but yeah, like, I feel bad for him too. He made this great documentary, and you know, like, I get to deal with that fucking nonsense. Like, I don't know, whatever. Fuck the Oscars.
Yep.
You know what movie I saw the day after the Oscars? The Batman.
Now, that was a movie
that I liked. Oscar. I liked the first, like, 90% of the Batman. And then you get to the end. The end is ridiculous. It is absurd. He took this really, like, gritty, down-to-earth detective-type movie and then, like, tried to make it like every other superhero movie with this, like, huge threat to Gotham. Like, it was just, which was just kind of tossed in. It, like, didn't make sense with the rest of the plot. I'm like, what is happening now? Why have you ruined this movie? Why did you ruin it? And then, of course, at that point, I look over at my my friend I'd gone to the movie with, and he fell asleep. He's like dozing in the theater.
Long.
Yeah, but until that moment, I really liked I liked the movie.
Him as Batman. I think he's a good Batman. I don't like him as Bruce Wayne. He seems a little too like greasy college studenty as opposed
to
like.
To be fair, I do think that is a point of the movie, is that he has been neglecting his Bruce Wayne side, and that is part of. I mean, that is part of the reveal in the start of the third act, I guess. I get your point, but like, yeah, because he doesn't spend a lot of time as Bruce Wayne.
Right, it's kind of a throw-in. Like he's hardly Bruce Wayne at all. When he is, he just doesn't like have that expected Bruce Wayne air. Like maybe that is a point, but there's if that was a point, there's no other Bruce Wayne-ness to compare it to.
And again, I think that is the point. It's like it's also the reason why he spends like 90% of the movie in his Batman costume. Is that this is his one and only thing. This is his only concern, is being Batman.
Yeah.
I am 19 days away.
Same. I'm pretty excited.
Holding out till it hits HBO.
See, Tony, I like superhero movies, even though he's not a superhero.
Wait, Batman's not a superhero?
He is. He's rich.
That's right. Yeah. Being rich is a superpower. Ask Tony Stark.
That's literally, like, it's so funny to me that, like, I, like, make fun of these superhero movies and hate them, and, like, Batman, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see Batman.
obviously, you can wait to see
the
Batman,
Inception.
Though, if you haven't seen it yet.
Dude, if it was, like, a normal-length movie, I would have seen it by now, but, like, I just don't want to be at the theater that long.
That is a long time.
I would enjoy it at home.
I will say, that is one, I've been trying to, like, go and see it again. And it's just like, yeah, it's like 3 hours, and it's like scheduling 3 hours where it's like, okay, I'm gonna like, I would see it on Thursday, but I'm like, I gotta make sure it's early enough so I can get back for the podcast or something like that.
Right.
So.
I was like, okay, at what point am I gonna pee? I'm gonna pee at 1 hour into this movie, because you have to plan that ahead, because there's no way you're making 3 hours without a trip to the bathroom. That's just not gonna happen.
Nah, there is a website for that.
There is.
Yeah. But, you know, I just like, I don't have a problem with it being long at all. Like, that's not the thing. It's just like, I don't know, like The Irishman, I love it. 4 hours long. I like watching it at home. I wouldn't go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Yeah, I don't want to be there that long. I like the theater, but I just don't want to be there that long.
I like
long.
A good, like, 90 minutes to 2 hours movie in the theater.
And then it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, you go to the theater and it's not just like the 3 hour runtime of the movie, because it takes time to get there, it takes time to get back, and you know, depending upon when you get there, you're sitting around waiting, and it's a 4 hour at least excursion. So so Tony saw the Batman. Is that what it, that was a That's not what it's called, right?
It's
called The Batman. Yeah.
I wonder where they got that title from.
Wasn't there a cartoon called The Batman?
There is a cartoon called The Batman.
And then there was some news this week, or supposedly. There was hype about news.
Hype!
Yeah, I saw people that you know, we mutually follow, saying that Sony fans were gonna feast this week, and I don't know what they're feasting on, because the news that dropped from them was just, like, super huge.
They feasted at King.
Yeah, I guess. Sony updated their the PlayStation Plus. Is that what it's called?
PlayStation Plus Essentials? But yes, the service is currently called PlayStation Plus.
Trying to find what actually happened there, but yeah, it was they three tiers, different pricing, different things in each tier. And let's see, here we go. So PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium, 400 games in the PlayStation Plus Extra tier, 700 games in the Premium tier, and this is all linked with PlayStation Now. So, yeah, it's not exactly Game Pass, but I guess if you're okay with streaming PS3 games, like...
Ooh, PS3!
And the, what is it, the PlayStation Plus Collection... it's kind of being transferred over to this, so stuff like Death Stranding, you know, Marvel's Spider-Man and Miles Morales, Returnal, I think, is dropping there as well. So that stuff will be there. It's that's nice. I don't know. I'm not like super pumped about this. I guess I already pay for PlayStation Plus, so I'll just be brought into it. I'm not sure.
I'm not gonna get the premium or whatever, like higher tier.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a need for it. I mean, I guess if they were like, you know, you can get Returnal and Gran Turismo 7, like maybe I would do it then, just because then I don't have to buy those games.
Yeah, it's kind of the secret sauce of the Game Pass thing. It's like, at least for me, like, I know you guys use Game Pass like a lot more than me, but it's like, I play the new games that come out there that I would have played anyway, and so like, it's worth it because they come there, you know what I mean? Lots of new games come there.
Yeah.
And they're saying with this, you know, what Sony's doing, that's not the case really.
No, so, like, they're still going to sell those games for $70. So, like, Horizon Forbidden West won't be on this service for a while. I assume Gran Turismo 7 won't be on it for a while. So it looks like maybe like a year out. I think Returnal's about a year old now.
I would like to play that game.
Right. Like, so maybe, like, you know, maybe for that month or whatever, I bump it up and get it so I can try it out. But I don't know. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just like, I think that, you know, it was built up to be something. Maybe not. Like, I don't know if it was built up by anybody internally to be something that it wasn't. In fact, I heard lots of, you know, reports out of like Jason Schreier saying this is not a Game Pass competitor. Like, it's just them merging the two systems, two services together. But yeah.
Yeah, the problem is you can't do something in a vacuum. It's going to have a direct comparison to its nearest competitor, which of course is Game Pass. And like you said, you aren't getting the same level of service that you get with a Game Pass.
Yep.
And I don't know. I understand like their reasoning of not wanting to do what Game Pass does. I still think Game Pass is kind of insane. Like, it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's worth it to you guys somehow. Like, it somehow works out, but it's like, you have these people working on these games for years and spending millions and millions of dollars breaking them. It's just like, yeah, it's just, we're just throwing it onto this. I guess it's just like, that's the model of everything now. It's just like, everything's a subscription thing, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird to me. I don't know why I find it weird. And then, like, you look at something like Netflix or whatever, and it's the same thing. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if we're getting to the point where it's like, all right, I'm going to drop Game Pass this month, get PlayStation Plus Premium this month,
And like you're going to see people flip-flopping back and forth. It's like, oh, Microsoft doesn't have anything coming out for the next quarter, so I don't necessarily need it. Like, I think most of us are probably subscribed.
It ends up that it's, you know, what was the thinking I always thought, like, when it first came out? Like, you know, hey, if you're going to buy two Microsoft games that year, which I probably would, good enough. Like, it's, you're covered. Like, and, you know, I do get other things, like, a lot of other things, too. Like, especially with how many studios that Microsoft owns now. And just, like, I don't even know, like, Infernax, I don't think that's from a Microsoft studio, but that was, like, a brand new game, right? Yep. That went on there, and it's, like, it was a great game. So
Tunic, which just came out. Worth it.
Is that a Microsoft like published game? No.
Nope. It's
that's awesome.
It's just on Game Pass day one.
So yeah, it's not just Microsoft games that come there day one.
No, and I was wondering about that with the PlayStation, because I don't think we heard anything in regards to that about like third party games. They did say, I mean, I guess it's harder to ask third parties to put their games on day one if you don't want to do it, but
yeah, yeah. It's like, what's the benefit? I mean, I guess money's the benefit. but I do think that the Microsoft games are the big draw, right? Like you're getting Halo, you're getting Forza, you're getting Starfield. All day one, they're big names. Like stuff like Tunic, I don't think is gonna sway anybody one way or the other. But it's a nice bonus. It's a nice, you know, add. Yeah. So that happened. I think there was supposed to be some other news, but
that did not happen.
It was erased to nothingness by the other news. But
there was some news that did happen. Cancellations, delays. We'll do delays first.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on getting to pick your game of the year in March.
Yeah. In March.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there was any chance Breath of the Wild 2 would have beaten Elden Ring for me anyways. But
you are a lying liar who lies with lies.
I really didn't. I really don't. Uh-huh. I really can't think of
one. I believe you, Jeff.
I do wonder.
It doesn't matter. Like I'm still very much looking forward to it. I very much want to play Breath of the Wild too. So I'm bummed by this news for sure.
I mean, you're now on what, your third playthrough?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe come November, like if that's when Zelda released, you might have a different tune. Like you'd probably still love Elden Ring, but maybe you haven't played it in a couple months.
Are we gonna have, like, to get your girlfriend to like peel the couch off of you since you haven't last
month? I just don't see I love Breath of the Wild. I just don't see it being better, but like it doesn't matter. It's like I'll take another really good game, you know what I mean? Like and you know, it's not surprising at all, because like they can never get Zelda out on time. But I feel like this is not the first delay of this game. I don't know. I feel like it was supposed to come out.
I mean, I think
last year. Yeah.
Was it supposed to go out last year? I know they announced
it. I do think so. I do think. Also, whether it was supposed to or not, like, yeah, it's not surprising, but I was bullish on it coming out this year. I think I even said on the show, like, I think it is coming this year. Like, I really did. So. I was wrong.
But I think, and I mean, I could, they have a pretty decently stacked year. So
I disagree a lot, but.
I mean, you could disagree. That doesn't make it true. I mean.
Let me put it this way. For me, no. Like, I'm not talking about anything.
But I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about their general lineup. Because you still.
Well, I'm a big Nintendo guy, and if I'm saying I'm not looking forward to anything, it's kind of not great.
But I mean, they have two Pokemon games.
Okay, there's always a Pokemon game, dude. Like,
that's a big game.
Yeah, but they're huge games. Like they
got Pokemon, they got Xenoblade, they got Splatoon 3, they got Mario Soccer, they got Wii Sports,
Switch Sports, or whatever it is. Yeah.
That's I mean, Bayonetta you know. 3 is supposed to still be out this year. They have Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Joy supposed to be out this year.
Yeah, the word is that like they have a lot of stuff that hasn't been revealed yet coming in the back half too, so
yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope we don't know everything, because again, like, none of those. Like, I'll probably play Bayonetta 3, you know, but like, and you know, yeah, Mario Soccer might be fun, you might like it. That's not like a stand-in for like a big game like Zelda, like, come
but
on.
Yeah,
like,
but just say, but just, okay, so you're ignoring, okay, so you're ignoring Pokemon because apparently Pokemon exists all the time.
There's always when is there not a Pokemon game coming out?
Like, I think Xenoblade is that stand. It might not be for you or me, Jeff, but like Xenoblade is that big open world, you know, RPG that you know people are going to want.
Something, I guess.
I mean, Xenoblade's a very big franchise. Yeah. So
and it's also a massive franchise. Kirby just came out last week. I mean, it's not like they've been and again, I think Sparks of Joy would still be a pretty decently sized game. And then there's other games. Again, like you said, it's what you think, but I think it's a really good, solid lineup for them. And then there's stuff like, you know, the Lego Star Wars game is out soon. I think they're getting the Ninja Turtles game, which again, is more for me.
Platoon 3 is this year too, right?
Yeah, and that's
huge, yeah.
A bigger game than Zelda.
It's just you're missing. Where's Mario Odyssey 2? Like something. I don't know. You're missing something for me.
I always feel like you have a very specific set of games that are big games to you. Where it's like,
Mario's a huge game.
I'm not saying that Mario isn't a big game, but somehow saying that, like, because like Splatoon sells 10 million copies. Mario sports games do really well. You have Mario Kart DLC coming out throughout the rest of this year. It's not like it's a barren year. Like Zelda wasn't like, oh, Zelda's. And again, Pokemon is their second biggest franchise, no matter if it's coming out 15 times a year.
Yeah, like out of the platform holders, I think Nintendo probably has the best, you know, a lineup that we know of games that are coming. I mean, we don't know what Sony has the rest of the year. Microsoft, like outside of Starfield, like that's it. We don't know anything that they're putting out.
Don't they have that? They have that not Borderlands game. Is that not this year?
Redfall,
something like that.
The one by the it's the like the vampire type game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be, but we've not seen any gameplay from it. We only saw that CG trailer, so
that is fair. And at some point, I do assume they're going to properly launch Halo Infinite. Like at some point, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe
they can take their time with that.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be in season 2. That's in May. Because it sounds like Forge is not going to be there for that, and co-op might not be there either. So maybe some more maps. I don't know. Like they've seemingly dropped the ball with support of Halo as a live game.
It is such a weird thing because I was talking to some friends this week, and the fact that I think we all agreed it was our game. Yeah, nobody thinks it's a bad game.
No, it's great.
It feels so barren. It is so
fucked up. I think we fucked up a little bit. I don't know, man. Missing the co-op. There's like 5 maps. The campaign's not super fleshed out. We fucked up. I'm saying we should have gave it to Resident Evil.
No. No,
I mean, we were never giving it to Resident Evil.
That's just not going to happen.
I'm amending my list. Resident Evil.
Okay, but that doesn't change anything because the rest of us gave it.
We were wrong.
So,
I mean, I will go back and play Halo before I go back and play Resident Evil.
I think I even said at the time that I thought it was like a good blueprint for what they could do in a sequel to that.
Yeah, you did.
I stand by that. It's needs a little more. I mean, I guess the multiplayer will fill out, I guess, but
yeah, like, I mean, I don't,
too slowly. I don't know.
Not really sure what else anybody wanted out of you know the campaign for Halo, because it was, you know, it was a 15-20 hour game that had the core Halo experience, and then this open world that, yeah, it's just a little empty, but I don't know. It was fun. I went and found everything, took all the towers down, did all the activities.
Needs more. Needs a little more.
And I mean, I assume at some point we're going to get more. Who knows when? You know what we're not getting more of, though? E3 this year.
Boo.
I would just say it was because I honestly assumed this had been canceled already. So I think it was like last week or the week before, it was like where people were like, oh, they're scrambling to make something virtual, digital. And I'm like, oh, I just assumed it was done for the year. And then they came out this week and it's like, oh, yeah, it is done. So
forever.
It's like when the corpse starts moving. It's like that. It's like the corpse is like jerking after death.
It's as dead as the Switch.
It's like, oh wait, it's alive. Oh no, it's not alive. It's just doing that thing. That's what we're seeing now. The post death jerks.
Yeah. Twitching. Yeah, and they did say, oh, you know, we're going to revamp and come back with a big, big live in-person show for next year. But I thought they said that last year as well. Yeah.
They've been saying that since 2020.
Let's come back with this thing that no one wants.
I want it.
Again, excuse you?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm kind of with Chris.
I want the condensed experience. Like, I don't like this spread out, but yeah, I don't necessarily need it to be E3. But I wish there was a time where the industry would get together. I have fun with that, right? Like we all get together, we all jump on like a Discord or chat and talk through stuff.
Does it need to be done that way? No, but I always look forward to it. You're talking to the guy that still misses Blockbuster Video, so. I don't know. I just liked the way certain things were. I liked having E3 to look forward to this big crazy week. You know,
like these long drawn out period of PR, like where it's like Ubisoft's going to have three conferences over the course of the summer. Like they're all bad. None of them have like the info. You could just do one and fit all your information in there, and maybe I come away going, yeah, that was all right, as opposed to three that are each an hour long and have like maybe one or two games coming out of them that anybody gives a shit about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bring it back. We need to go back. What I'm saying.
But well, we're not this year. I guess Keeley's what does he have? Summer Game Fest that happening.
You guys,
and he's laughing about this whole thing, by the way. He's like, LOL. That could be a whole Twitter feed right now. LOL.
I used to look so forward to E3 that I would take that week off of work, sit around fucking doing jack shit, but watching video game bullshit for a week and yelling about it on the internet.
Tuesday, Jeff would, like, Jeff is very pumped up. Alarm on Sunday is set. And Monday. The Tuesday Nintendo
early morning conference. Yeah.
E3 sucks, it's terrible.
Yeah, and then, yeah, always disappointed by Nintendo, fucking never getting it right.
But yeah, no E3 this year.
Was it last E3? Or I mean I guess there really wasn't E3 last year. But the Nintendo Direct last year where they're just like, we have no news on Zelda. Like, they just said that. Like, oh, thanks for coming out and telling me. You could have just not said anything, I guess.
But if you don't say anything, people are going to be like, oh, why didn't they talk about Zelda? So it's more being preemptive, I think.
I found it very funny. Okay, it's just like, oh, here just, he comes. This is the Zelda guy.
It was just a delivery of it, though. Like, because they bring out...
It was like trolling.
Yeah, it was. They bring out, I think it's a Numa.
And yeah.
It's like, we have no new news to share it's on like, Zelda.
You see him, you're like, oh, shit, Zelda shit, right? And he's just like, I just came here to say, nothing's coming on Zelda.
They dragged me away from development to tell you personally we don't have anything to share. This is great. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I do think that the new Zelda looks cool, but of course, I mean the last one was awesome. So,
yep. I mean, I don't know what they're gonna improve over the course of the next year, but I'm sure it'll be good.
I wasn't the only one that made the joke. That was they played Elden Ring, and they're like, "Oh shit!" I really do hope. I'm not gonna say they're copying Elden Ring if they do this, but I really do hope they put some real dungeons in it. You know,
I hope so too. And that was a major complaint though of the first one. So I would hope they listened.
You could like do the big real dungeons where you get. Like the specific item from the dungeon, and just that item works on that dungeon. Like I don't know, you know what I mean? And then still have it be open world and free to go in any, you know, do them in any order you want type of thing.
But yeah, the problem is like you can't because like I mean you can, but like the whole point of that getting all those items was that it would make sure you would make the dungeon in a specific way where you wouldn't need an item. And I mean they can kind of go back to what they did with what is it? In between worlds.
No, make it it's so that you get 1/3 of the way through the dungeon, and then you're using that item through the dungeon, right? And then out in the open world, that item will get you to some of the shrines that you couldn't get to before. Like, just do it.
That was the beef people had with Twilight Princess. Because Twilight Princess designs were very specific to items. And they make great use of them, but people compare and have much use outside of that. And I think that would be the problem is because you don't necessarily want it. Because again, if you den fragment where it's like, okay, you need like the boomerang to get this to this part, it defeats what made Breath of the Wild.
Jeff said though, where you like you need the boomerang to access this shrine, or you
shrines.
But that's what I'm saying. It's because the point of Breath of the Wild was you could do anything in any order.
Like, you could still do it. Like you could.
But if you need the
once you have the boomerang, then you have access to those whatever set of shrines is out there. But you don't have to get the boomerang at the beginning of the game. You could get it at the end of the game. You could get.
Earl's saying you could go into any shrine at any point in time. In the first one,
okay, but you could have a smaller number of shrines have 80% of the shrines available.
I don't disagree. I think you know gatekeeping some content is not bad, right? Like,
yeah.
I think like you need to do these things, and then you get access to this. That would be fine, but
it's all open and optional. So it's not like you need to do these shrines that have the boomerang thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, like
I just to clarify, I think Chris and I are because I'm all for traditional Zelda. I actually want the big dungeons back. I'm just saying I know what people gravitated towards. Like Breath of the Wild. One of the big reasons still is that people. You can still experiment and create these crazy concoctions with the four items you get at the start of the game. And I do think, like, once you start limiting it to, like, okay, if you don't have the bow and arrow, you can't access here, so you can't go there yet, or the hookshot, then it does start, like, again, I prefer traditional 3D Zelda game, but if you want to continue to Breath of the Wild
I don't think it has to be as either or, though. Like, I really do think that the new one will do kind of what I'm saying.
I mean, and it's why I like the what are those things called, the Guardian Temples, because those were the closest things we got, but those were pretty simple in comparison. Again, I know it's like I really like what Skyward Sword was going with the dungeons, and people were just not having it. So this is, and again, Breath of the Wild is what it is. It's a good game. I would prefer something along the lines of Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword, but I know people are getting tired after four games, I guess. I don't know. People are weird.
All right. Well, some other other stuff out of here. You know, game industry continues to be shitty. Allegations today dropped against Undead Labs, Microsoft Studio, that they have a kind of a shitty culture there. And that Microsoft has been kind of hands off with them, which has maybe allowed some of that to fester. So they're the ones that did State of Decay. Allegations of sexism, bullying, and overworking, which causing some burnout by people. So shitty there, but not anything surprising considering, you know, all these publishers have some shit underneath. Just continues to be crappy. Not an industry I recommend going to work in.
No. Why would anyone do that at this point? I don't understand. Choose a different industry. Be happy elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it really is like, you know, they pull in people that are young because I'm like, oh shit, like, you know, Insomniac's hiring me, or that was another one. The Insomniac had some there was some shitty stuff that came out about Insomniac this week. You know, but you hear like, oh, I'm getting hired by Nintendo or wherever, and it's then you go into this and it's like, this isn't the best thing ever. Like, I'm underpaid for what I'm doing, and you know, you see a lot of burnout, lots of people leaving. I think it really, like, you know, the industry just preys on young people to come in and join.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. And it's not just the development side, because you also sometimes hear this a lot with press and media, where it's a lot of people who, this is where they dream to get into the game industry.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, you have to hustle. That means that, you know, like I've, you know, EGM used to have stories of like some of those people, you have like four or five people in a house in San Francisco, and it's like, you're young, you're ideal, you're like, this is how you do it. And it's like, no, there are ways to do it. And it's like, I have to get my foot in the door. I mean, we've heard not just with almost all these companies, their QA departments are awful at how they treat some of their employees.
Yep.
And because that's an easy way to get your foot in the door. Because, I mean, now it's slightly different. You do have programs. But for the longest time, you didn't necessarily go to school for a game design and game development. You went for other stuff and you knocked into it, or you got a role, or you knew programming and you could transfer those skills, but you didn't do game design. So like QA was a way that a lot of people got into the door, and then you moved up if you could stick it out.
Yep. You hope you can move up to a higher level development position and progress there, or else you burn out and leave games behind completely. You see a lot of that. Like, if you follow any, you know, low level developers on Twitter, you see a lot of people that just are fed up and leave the industry. Sad.
It is sad.
I mean,
they make things. That's the annoying thing. Or annoying. It's not annoying. That's not the right word. It's ironic how like video games bring such joy to people, yet the people who actually make the video games are miserable.
Yeah. I thank them for their misery.
Thank you for sacrificing yourselves for my joy.
It's you know, video games are an escape for the rest of us. Unfortunately, they live that. I mean, then that's not to say that some people do not have a good time in the game industry. It's just, you hear more and more of these stories, and hopefully, you know, it seems like in some cases, some of these studios, their employees are working to unionize, and you hope that they're able to do that and maybe make their workplace better.
But on the other end, we have our good friends Activision. I believe, what is it this week? There are senators. I know Warren and Sanders are two of them who are pushing for the FTC to look into the Activision-Microsoft merger because they feel like the merger will just exacerbate their already dubious reputation. And yeah, so that was that. And then I think the other thing that came out is they are dropping their vaccine mandates and are going to start requiring people to come back to the office in June. And a lot of people are saying this is probably to, you know, kind of keep an eye on people who are trying to unionize. So.
Yep. Shitty.
There are a lot of companies like making people come back to the office right now. Part's not surprising, but hard to give it's hard to give active to say, oh, this isn't like when you've done so many things like this in the past have been directly against your employees and like against their best interests, it's hard to say, you know, this is fine, we'll give you a pass. We believe you. You've lost the benefit of the doubt by now.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, doesn't really matter why you're dropping it, but it definitely seems suspect when you have employees trying to unionize, and now you're like, well, we're going to drop that. Everyone come back to the office.
That's the odd part. It's like, it's not dropping asks. It's dropping the vaccine mandate. That's the odd part.
Yes.
Yeah, like the thing that would mostly keep your employees more safe. And you know, I assume that Activision pays for, you know, health insurance for some of these people.
Right.
You would want them to get the vaccine, but who knows? Activision continuing to be shitty.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like Tony was saying, there's a lot of people are being crappy with the return to work nonsense because, again, I feel like we are just kind of ignoring the fact that this is not over. I get it that, like, at some point, yes, I'm saying this as somebody who's doing a social outing for his birthday this weekend, that there are, you know, like, you make risk and rewards, but I feel like work should find some ways. But yes, I think if you're going to have people go into the office, that you should have some types of mandates, mask and social distancing at the bare minimum.
Yep.
But it's over. We defeated COVID. Final boss.
Yep. It's all done. There's no more COVID. We're just going to ignore it.
Victory!
Gas is the crisis now. Gas pricing.
That's a false crisis, though, right? Oil prices plummet and gas prices go up for God knows what reason.
Oh, we know what reason. Exactly what reason.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery, Chris. We have no idea what's happening here.
Don't know why a company would raise prices when their costs are low. Doesn't make any sense why some of these companies are posting record profits.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And I don't know if this pertains to any of you. Earl, you are on a Nintendo family plan for their online, yes?
Yes.
So maybe Xbox Game Pass getting a family plan would interest you.
It would. I mean, as long as it's as generous as, like, other people, where it's like, as you don't need, like, the shared IP or something like that. Like, anything to save a few bucks.
Yeah, they have not, like, Windows Central put this out earlier, and some of the other game sites are now picking up on it. There's no specifics on it yet. But there is going to be a family plan at some point later this year that will allow five people to share Game Pass across multiple consoles, it seems.
For me, this is actually, you know, really good because I could then get like a Series S or something and put it, you know, on some of my other TVs for people to utilize. Because right now, my son and I, we share, so like his Xbox is the home Xbox, and then the Series X is the one which I play off of. I have to sign in. I have to always be online. But he has access to my entire library. But if everybody could have Game Pass, then they'll be able to, you know, play games from Game Pass and get to Netflix and shit without making somebody shut off a box or something somewhere else. So we'll see. They'll have news on that later this year, I assume, at whatever their E3 thing that's not happening now, whatever that will be, Microsoft will have some news. Yeah, I think that's it for news. You guys play anything this past week?
Silence. That says we played a lot.
Nope.
It was a
busy week.
You know, I literally have not played a game in the past week.
Lots of pontificating, little playing. I see how it is.
And that's the nature of being a gamer.
Right. Come on, Jeff. You know how this works, right? We talk about games. Nobody plays
games. This is a
games.
Podcast. If we wanted, like, we'd be streaming if we wanted.
I've been mainlining a game into my fucking veins. Every waking hour.
Jeff is like, I need my couch cushion surgically removed from my ass because I have been sitting here playing games.
What's your hour count up on Elden Ring now?
It's over 200 hours. I don't know exactly because it's split across. You know, you'll see for each character like the amount of time. I
think yeah.
I put 70 hours into one and 130 into another, so it's about 205 hours right now.
Okay, so you just started a new one,
yeah.
Which Jeff explained this to me last night. He's creating a vampire.
Vampire build
character, makes him basically invincible.
It's if you like get out all the things supposedly, yeah, you're like pretty invincible. There's like a thing called blood loss in the game. It's like certain weapons and certain spells will cause blood loss, and basically it's like this meter that fills up, and if you know the red meter fills all the way up, it creates like you lose a huge chunk of your health at once, and there's like enemies that could do that to you, but you could also, you know, again, you could go, all right, I'm gonna just attach all these items and perks or whatever to myself that I could so I'll be constantly like, you'll be doing that, you know, taking these huge chunks of blood off people, and also you could, you know, put perks on you to where you're always like, you know, filling your health with every successive hit that you get. So it's just like your health meter is always filling and theirs is just, you're constantly draining their blood, and hence the vampire build. So that's what I'm aiming for. And I guess a good like starting class to build towards that with is the prophet, like the faith magic based, you know, class or whatever.
Sure that your girlfriend is thrilled that you are playing through it a third time.
Just jealous I have joy in my life.
Wow. That's guitar.
You also played some Tunic. You were nearing the end of that.
Yeah, pretty close to the end. So like I'm at the boss before the boss. You know what I mean? Although I'm not gonna lie, I've been looking at guides for the game to like figure out what the fuck to do sometimes, because the game is like extremely obscure and vague about what to do, and I don't know if there's like you know, you're playing the game, right, Chris? It's like you need these three keys, and that like unlocks the way to the, like what you think is the final boss. But I think there's like something after that, even. I don't know. But anyways, I'm at the boss. It might be like an optional thing that you could do after. I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. But I'm at the boss before the boss. So like I'm at the boss, that'll give you the final key to get to the boss.
think I just got to the final area where the I think it's the blue key.
What I'm looking for. The area that you're heading into is called, I believe it would be called the quarry. I mean, I guess you could do the areas technically in any order, right? But the quarry? How do you say that
word? I think it's the quarry, yep.
That area is a pain in the fucking ass.
Right.
So have fun with that. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a pretty cool game. I've ultimately, like, I spent a lot of time talking about the things like I don't like about it, but like ultimately I think it's pretty awesome. Like, it's, you know, it's very impressive for basically being a one man game that made it, right?
Yep.
I like it. I think I would like to see a bigger sequel if this is, you know,
maybe let two people work on it.
The end.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think ultimately more than that one person did work on it, but it started out as being a, you know, programmed by one guy.
I think this game is turning out to be pretty successful and popular for what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I would like to see like a bigger sequel, you know? And I think that, you know, there's things that my biggest problem with the game, which I think I somehow forgot to mention last week, is that, you know, leveling up your character is tied to items that you have to find in the game.
Yes, we did mention it last week, but we didn't. I don't think we understood how annoying it was.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, in like Dark Souls or something, if the boss is too hard, you go out and grind. And like most RPGs, you go out and grind, come back stronger, right? And you could do that in this, but it's like, you can find all the currency you need, but like you do need specific items to upgrade specific, you know, like your defense, your attack, right? And it's like, yep. I find those items to be very hard to find.
And, not enough of them. And they're limited. Like, they're not. Yeah. So it's not
you
like.
You can't grind forever. Right. And become like way overpowered, right? Yeah, you can't do that.
Those items are in chests. They're not drops from enemies. So, the only thing you're getting from enemies is the currency.
It's so many of the chests, like way too many chests, is all this junk that is either like you open a chest and it gives you coins, which you're like, all right, I'm already getting the coins from enemies and shit. So, what the fuck? Or it's like this junk that you don't even know what the fuck it is because the game doesn't explain what any of the items
are. Yeah, really. it has its own language, and unless you find like I guess the manual that explains it in English or you come across something else, like you won't know what it is unless you use it.
I finally was like, hey, maybe it's, you know, I keep getting like carrots and like all this shit where I'm like, what is this? I don't even like, you made me come all the way to this like little ledge to get this fucking treasure chest and you're giving me carrots and I don't even know what the fuck they are. And I'm like, is there an instruction page manual that explains this? And there was, I think, for a lot of the items. And then I'm looking at that and there's three different items that are just bombs. Like, There's two that look like bombs, but look kind of different. And then there's a stick of dynamite, and all three of them on the instruction manual just say bomb. I'm like, why did you do this?
One is actually an ice bomb.
Okay.
Right. Like, so yeah, I found that out by throwing it and it bounced off a wall and hit me and I froze.
Mm-hmm. I love when you throw the bombs, like, it's not like Zelda where you just like set them down easily. It's like they bounce off it. Like,
it's like you're throwing a grenade and it just bounces off all over the place. It
bounces into the ocean and you're like, oh, thanks. I, you know, like these extremely limited items just fucking bounce off the fucking where I wanted to set it. Thank you. So I just feel like if you wanted to do it this way, like just at least make more of the chests giving you the the stuff you need to upgrade your stuff, like, I don't know. And at the boss, and here, like, so my solution to this was I would get to a boss, it'd be too hard, and I would just go, okay, well, I'm gonna go do the next level, find whatever upgrades I can, and I'll come back to this boss. And that has worked throughout the game. Like, you beat the librarian then, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I get to him, I found him very hard. And then, you know, I went and did the last level and doubled back to the librarian, and he was very easy because I had leveled up. But like, now here I am at this second to last boss. There's nowhere for me to like progress to now to go level up more. Like, I'm just kind of like, my options are turn on no fail mode or go scour the entire map again looking for stuff.
Yeah, I know there's like parts where like I see chests that I haven't reached. Yeah, and it's yeah, like, yeah. I don't know how to get there, but I guess I could like poke around and see.
It's so, again, most likely it's carrots. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to be what you want it to be. Because I've gotten some weird ones and I thought, oh, this chest is going to be worth like something awesome in here. Nope. And I'm like on the fence about it. I haven't played it since I got to this boss because I'm like, I don't know. I should at least give it a go of going around the map one more time and see what I can find, right?
I mean, the map's not that big.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So, but I'm just like not in the mood, and I'm like, I'm starting a new. I'm making a vampire in Elden. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Chris? You're pretty much about as far as me, close to it.
Yeah, I like it. It's similar to you. Like, I just don't like that everything is tied to those items. Like, I would prefer just, like, let me go grind on and get it so that I can up my health, up my attack, up my defense, so I can come back and fight this enemy. But it's like, no, we have a very specific leveling system, and it only goes to X amount. So you never really feel like you're more powerful than the enemies.
Copy Dark Souls completely, since you so badly want to be cute Dark Souls, and then let people summon me to fight the siege engine for them over and over, and I could like level grind off of that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Like, I don't know, that's part of like the fun of, I just like the thrill of helping people in Elden Ring, like just, you know, knowing that this person was struggling and I got them. But, you know, you're getting some reward out of it, too. Like, you know. So
it's,
I don't know.
It's a fun little game. I'm going to keep poking at it. It's, sometimes I'm like, this is way too frustrating. I don't want to play it right now. And then I come back and I don't have any problem with the next, like, the area that I was struggling with. So this is one that, like, you can't just sit down and play, I think. You kind of, like, got to take a little breather in between. It's good, though.
I do think it's if it is the size that we think it is, I think it's a smaller game than I expected for some reason. I expected like a longer game.
And I think I'm nearing in on like 10 hours though. So,
I don't know. It just feels like.
But I think a lot of that, it's not like the world isn't big. It's just that, so, you know, it's confused. Difficult, and you die, and yeah, you don't know where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do. Because nothing is in the language you understand.
It's like, once you like have it in your head, it's like, all right, there's a central town, and then there's like three areas branching off of that, and they're not super big levels. And then the temple that you get in at the end of those levels are never, well, the quarry's kind of big, but you know, the other two are not super huge, and I don't know why. I guess just because of like the hype around the game, like how, oh, this is fucking great, like this is amazing. It's like it's a little smaller than I expected.
Yeah, it's a nice little indie
game. Yeah, yeah. If you take it in as that, like, yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like, you know, it'll probably end up in my top 10 for the simple fact that I doubt I'll play much more than 10 games when it's all said and done, because I'm playing one game for fucking months apparently. So
I mean, you've been playing Elden Ring now for like two and a half months.
Yeah.
So
gotta do all the kills, man.
I've finished Forza Horizon 5.
Good job.
Is that a thing that can happen? Is that possible?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done all the races. I've done all. I've unlocked everything in the festival. Like, there's the different areas of the festival. All that's unlocked. I've done all the big final races. There's always stuff to do. And they have that rolling seasonal, playlist thing. But I think I'm done with it for a while until they announce the first expansion, which I assume will be this summer. It's a good game. I think it is not as good as 3 and 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're all pretty equal.
I mean, they're all fairly, I mean, it's not a bad game. It is still a great game. I just don't think it's quite at the level of 3 and 4, and it could just be,
Hot Wheels.
I think this is true. I think 4 is a great game. I think the big hook on 5 is it's really designed to be addictive as opposed to good.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much shit to do. It's like there's just...
Everything you do gives you, it's incentivized.
Yep. Yeah, I like that.
Whereas in 4, like everything you do is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not like, and maybe it's just like the setting isn't that different from, it's very similar to 3, like, which is weird. I've never been to Mexico or Australia, but like in this video game, they could be identical. And like it has everything from 4, like everything 4 added. It has all the stories and it's just, I think it's too much. Maybe it's not as curated as, and I think Tony might be right, where it's just like, we're giving you this so like it's like ding, ding, ding. Like you're always going to have like two or, every play session, you're going to earn enough that you have like two or three wheel spins. But there's no like real sense of progression, no sense of advancement. It's just more, which is fine. Like I had fun. Like I put 45 hours into this. So it's not a bad game at all. It's just there's a lot of it.
You're like you guys are bad mouthing it a little bit.
I think that 3 and 4, and I thought 4 was like a step down from 3. I thought 3 was like perfectly curated. Yeah, everything you did kind of moved on. And this one, you can unlock any of the things immediately. Like as long as you've earned like, your 10,000 accolade points, you can like start unlocking whatever you want. And it's just do whatever you want, however you want. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And then it ends and it's like, all right, well, I guess keep racing, I guess. Like, just keep going. So I'm going to keep going by shutting it off until the expansion comes out.
Is the expansion announced? Like,
no, I mean, there's been two for, there were two for 3. There were two for 4. I assume that we'll hear about the first one sometime this year,
right? Like it seems like
they're normally announced. Like they historically have been announced around E3.
Okay. All right.
So we'll get that and that's like a whole nother mini campaign with a new map and new things to do. I think I just need a break from Forza for a bit. It was a lot, and I played 4 over the summer last year. I think Tony did as well. Like the majority I played of 4 was last year. And then coming right into 5, it was just like more.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Still great game, but I'm done for a bit, and I guess I could go in and let the clock run so I can, because I found all the barn finds, but they haven't all restored yet.
Could never get the last one. I don't know why. I don't know.
Oh, you have to buy a house.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You unlock 13 of 14. Like that, I think like one of them is you have to do one of the events. Yeah, so you have to do one of the events, and like you'll that one, you'll spot it as you're doing the event, and it's like, oh, that's down there. That's how one of them unlocks, and then the other one that's hidden, you have to buy the cheapest house, which is like $150,000.
God damn it!
In the Baja, and once you do that, then it's like, hey, here's the other barn find, and that's the last one.
I was perplexed as to what I was missing.
Why do I only have 13 of 14?
And I I think I looked up where it was. Like I looked up a map, and I was like, "All right, I know I got that one. I know I got like I kind of like honed in on this has got to be the one." And I went there, and like I couldn't get it. And I was like, "What? Why? Like, what do I have to trigger?" And now the game's deleted, and it's never happening. The achievement is gone to me forever.
Oh. When the expansion comes out,
yeah, maybe that
you just boot it up, and
I feel like using a third of my hard drive.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with that, right? I think there were like 20 barn finds in four. Like, there's less here,
a little bit less.
Like, I think there's more of other things. Like, there's more stories. But I don't know. The barn finds are fun. I like just driving around trying to find them in the middle of like this area. For
sure. Yeah.
Tony, you said you didn't play anything.
Did not.
Earl, you play anything this week?
No, not really.
But you did watch Halo Episode 2.
Yes, I was waiting to talk about that.
Did anything happen? I haven't watched it yet.
So. I was about to say that the talk is the key word, because it is 45 minutes of people talking to other people.
Mm.
And Master Chief spoilers goes back to the UNSC?
UNSC. Yep.
Yeah. And he just goes back to them. I'm like, okay. So we've kind of just gone full circle in two episodes. So. Yeah,
so he ran away from them at the end and was like setting it up that he would be
like on the run.
Yeah,
and yeah, he takes the thing. You find some backstory that like Master Chief is a very by the book soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And also doesn't like Master Chief. Not to say that he's a rebel or anything, but like that's part of five, isn't it? That he's kind of doing his thing to find Cortana. I will 110% say I watched this. I'm not gonna do it next week, because I watched it before work, because I'm like, oh man, if I don't watch it, like, if people are gonna spoil it during work, nobody watches this show. As far as I can tell, nobody else watches this show on Twitter.
No, it's like you, me, and this one other guy that I know. That's it.
And I'm like, so yeah, like all day, like, I don't even know if people. Seeing it, I can't even get spoiled, so I'm like, nobody watches it. It was just like I said, so it's like 7:30 in the morning, so I'm out of it in general. But I'm like, nothing's really kind of going on. Like, he's talking, he goes to meet this like, I don't know, like this rebel base where like this guy who like, you know, who left because he didn't want to be brainwashed, and Master Chief gave him 5 minutes. And he only got 5 minutes, and he had to give up for rats and stuff. And so he gives him this thing. He shows it to him. It lights up because Master Chief is something special. So he takes it back to the UNSC. And that's pretty much the summation of what happened for 45 minutes. So, yeah, I want to stick with this show. But honestly, nothing is holding my interest.
All right, well... I will give it a watch this weekend. We'll see. I mean, how many episodes is it supposed to be? 10, that's, 8?
That's what I was just looking up, because I'm like, if it's 8, like maybe we can stick with it. If 10, well, I mean, the good thing is for it right now is that there's not a ton. Like, Moon Knight just started back and Young Justice, but like, yeah, there's not a ton of stuff right now that's competing for my attention. But I will say, I think the CG looked better this episode. Not sure why, but yes, so it's 10 episodes.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's just so weird that, like, again, I'm not. I mean, I'm not expecting like some huge action sequence every episode. But I honestly don't think there's any action sequence this episode, which is such a weird thing for your sake. I feel like this show might have been. I mean, mostly next week. I think like the show might have benefited by like, dropping like, the first three episodes up front, so that you can kind of get an even feel for it instead of a.
You said this last week and saying that you want the first two. Now it's
three. Just,
like, they should have gave us the first four. It's gonna get good after the first four. I know it's gonna get good after that.
We're gonna be on episode 9, Jeff, and being like, they should have just released the whole thing at once.
I know it's gonna like by then. It's gonna be. I'm gonna be into it.
Season two is when it really takes off.
Now, in my defense, I'm not saying I'm into this show.
Right.
I'm just saying that, like, I feel like there, if there is something there, it's not in the first two episodes yet. So, yeah. I'm hoping that it is, but.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I'd like to have a nice, fun sci-fi, action adventure, but. Sounds like maybe Moon Knight is what you should be watching instead.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard people saying that it's good. Though.
It's so. Very enjoyable.
It's better than Halo. I'll give it that. granted, it can't be worse than Halo, but yes, I think I feel like Moon Knight's another one where I'm like. I think it's a really solid first episode, but I feel like it really needs to see what episode 2 is to see if it has that momentum for me. And I think that's one of those things, and maybe I think the age of streaming, a lot of people, pilot's always rough in general, because it's like the first episode, you gotta do a lot of world building, setting up characters and stuff like that. All the TV shows had like 20 episodes, so it's like, okay, you get the first episode, it builds up. With streaming shows, because like for Moon Knight, like that's you're 15% through the series already with one episode. They told you 6 episodes, so I think every episode needs to kind of be impactful and not be like, okay, I got to see what's gonna happen in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think that I know I'm in a minority with it. I felt that way with a lot of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, where I feel like. It either starts really strong and peters out near the middle. Like I think I'm not going to say Falcon and Winter Soldier. I just did not think that was a great show. I think that WandaVision starts off strong and it ends. I think the same thing with Hawkeye. So I think Hawkeye is different. I think the middle is actually the strongest part of that show, where the two of them are trying to get to know each other. And then I think the end is very weak. Loki, I think, starts off strong and strong. The middle is weak. And I think that's been the only ones. And What If it's just too random to kind of compare to anything.
And it's animated too, right?
I mean, animated could. I mean, Invincible.
It can, there's nothing wrong with animation. It's just it's different from the other shows.
Yeah. So. But no, it's kind of sad to. And I mean, I will continue, and I will always watch these nerdy stuff. Like, I'm already game for the new Game of Thrones spinoff, even after 7 and 8 disappointed us all. So.
Oh, right. That was announced to be debuting at some point, right?
In August.
Hmm. Right. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in August. I'm going to watch Halo. We'll see. Maybe I'll catch episode 3 next week before we record. But I will have Lego Star Wars next week, and maybe Chocobo GP.
So, this is not... This won't... I mean, we can't see it, but also next week, because reviews are dropping, Sonic will be out.
Oh.
So, I mean, I guess if anybody sees it before the podcast, because it comes out that Thursday, but yeah, Sonic will be out next week.
Nice. That original one was fun enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that's the key word, because I did not realize that. I mean, I think I always realized it, but it's so weird to see kind of the toxic, crazy review fanboys out for a video game movie now? Because people are like, oh, reviewers don't know what fans want. Sonic's great. I'm like, yeah, no, Sonic is a really, it's an enjoyable movie. It's entertaining. It is not what I would call fine cinema.
The game, though, Sonic Frontiers, I keep forgetting that, like, that's going to be the game of the year, Sonic Frontiers.
That's going to get delayed.
I was going to say this thing. The fact that
they won't delay it. They'll just put it out half finished. I don't give a shit.
More so than Sonic Frontiers, I'm surprised we've not seen or heard anything about Sonic Origins, because that's just a bunch of ports of Genesis games.
Yeah.
What is
Sonic Origins? That was announced the same time as Frontier. It's like Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles again.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying that was announced like last summer, and the fact that we've seen really nothing of it since then is weird to me.
It's a bummer that like Sonic Mania 2, I guess, ain't happening. Anyway, but Sonic Frontiers, it'll be out this year, even if it's 40% done, it'll be out. They don't give a shit. They really don't care.
40%.
I think.
And I will love it. I don't know why I always enjoy those games, even when they're...
Because you're a broken man on the inside.
I guess. I like when Sonic breaks me.
Can't wait to have like your top 10 list be like the most spastic thing ever with Sonic, Elden Ring, and
I'll put Sonic Frontiers at number one and Elden Ring at number two, just for fucking, just for the furries.
Okay, with that, Jeff, say goodnight.
Yes, good night. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Good night.